Okay, welcome back from the Beis Medrash. So we had left off yesterday looking at Tosas. Let's take a little bit more of a look at Tosas. We were looking this morning at this picture that gives us a little more of a visual sense of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. And again, Rashi understands that the Parshas are in normal order, normal sequence, Keseder Shein Ksuvim BaTorah, the way they appear in Chumash, from 1 to 4, Kadesh Vahikiviacha Shema Vahim Shamoa, from the perspective of the onlooker, from the perspective of the observer, from the perspective of the Kore, it's from right to left. And Benatam had asked, Kasha Benatam, we had seen his Kasha yesterday, Amai Palginu. If it's just 1, 2, 3, 4, why are you dividing them into two groups of two? Shekorei shtei and harishonos miyamin, v'chol ha'achronos mismal. Why divide them into groups at all? Just have them all as one set in order. If you can divide them into groups, why divide them into pairs? So that had moved Rabbeinu Tam to offer a different interpretation, which we'll get to in a moment. Just in terms of this kasha, though, that Rabbeinu Tam has against Rashi, it's worth noting several solutions for Rashi. One solution is that of the rush. Did anyone see the rush? Yeah, Yonatan? Fantastic, fantastic. Adir, is that what you're going to say as well? What were you going to say, Adir? That you developed together. That you developed together, Bacharusa. Fantastic. All right, so Rabbi Yaakov Emden, if you look to turn to the back of the Gemara, after the Rashash, you have the Hagos of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So he makes part of the point that you made. He said it's very natural to divide them into groups. After all, these two are in Chumash Shmos, right next to each other. They're next door neighbors in Chumash, Kasher Akiviacha, and Shema Vayim Shmo are on the other end of Chumash. In Chumash Devar, one is Vetzchanan, and one is in Vayim Shmo. One is in Akev. And obviously, Shema Vayim Shmo go together in other ways as well, in terms of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, certainly in terms of the mitzvah of Mezuzah. So it's very natural to divide them into two pairs based on where they are in Chumash. And you also touched on the thematic connection. Let's get back to that in a couple of minutes. The Rush says, he just thinks physically, this is centered on a person's head. So this isn't in the abstract. Here we're looking at these pictures of Tefillin. So they're just sort of, they're there in a vacuum. But remember, the Tefillin Sharosh are worn on your head. So there is a natural center point. They're centered on the center of your head. And it's centered up against your nose. So the Rush says, it's not unreasonable to talk about this half and that half. When Rabbeinu Tam wants to know, you know, why not divide them into 1 and 3 or 3 and 1? He says, no, it's centered on your head, the center of your head. So of course it's going to be, and this is going to be a 50-50 line. So again, the Rush is looking at the context on your head. Rav Yaakov Emden and you, Yonatan and Adir, and we'll see soon the Rav developed this idea in a somewhat different direction as well. We're looking at the Parshas themselves naturally divide in terms of where they are in Chumash, and perhaps also naturally divide thematically. So there are definitely solutions to Rashi, and we'll come back to that Mishnah before we close. But Rabbeinu Tam was bothered by this problem. I mean, Tom was bothered by Lamasa. Why didn't the Gemara just say there are a set of four in order, 1, 2, 3, 4? That seems to be the simplest way to put it according to Rashi's approach. I mean, Tom says that's why it must be, from reading the Gemara, that that's not the way to organize the Tefillin, the Parshas and the Tefillin. It must be that there's this more awkward-looking way, from right to left, from the perspective of the Koreu, be Kaddish Vayikivyecha Vahayim Shema and Shema. So there's no good way to explain that other than this pair and that pair. This pair starting from the right side, from the perspective of the Koreu, Kaddish Vayikivyecha, and look at the picture, that pair, Shema and Shema, starting from the right side, from the perspective of the Miniach, Shema, the volume of Shema. So for Rabbeinu Tam's setup, that is the most natural way. You need to talk about it in terms of two pairs of parshas, because that really is the way they're organized. They're organized as two pairs. Here's one pair, and there's one pair. And we saw yesterday that the Rambam is of the follows Rashi. And it's worth noting that the Ravid follows Rabbeinu Tam. Here we saw yesterday the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Hey, Ketzat Sidur HaParsha. We read this inside yesterday. He gives you an order. It says from the perspective of the Meniach, Vayim Shama, Shema, and Kadesh. And you should know here on the side, the Kofs of HaRavid, that star, and the Rambam always sends it to the Ravid when he disagrees. Hasagas HaRavid. He said, Kaser HaRavid Zal, or Zelashono. Rabbeinu Haizal Eino Omer Kain Ela Havayos BeEmtza. Rabbeinu is the Ravid trots out Ravigon and coming back, and he says that's what he thinks. He comes to the end. He says he thinks that is the most simple approach. Afikach Tafas Hagon Zal Derech Pashis HaGemara V'Sam Havayos BeEmtza. That really captures the essence of it. Like Rabbeinu Tam, the Ravid is motivated by 2 points. So let's go back to Tosis. By 2 points. Number one, the Pashtius HaGemara, the simple read, the fact that the Gemara broke it down to these two sets and those two sets, Mimino Shel Kori, Mimino Shel Meniach, it says it works best according to Rabbeinu Tam's approach. Let's bring that picture back on top. And also, in addition to the language of the Gemara, you have the position of the Gaonim. Let's see, Rabbeinu Tam also quotes the Gaonim at length. He quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, and digging further back, V'chein Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon also had this. So Rabbeinu Hananel writes in Sanhedrin that the two parshios that are roe es ha'avir, they're towards the air, that on the outside are Kadesh and Shema. So we have Rabbeinu Hananel, who's from the end of the period of the Gaonim, beginning of the period we've shown him. So he is a Kadmon in a sense. He's talking about Kadesh and Shema are Roe Es Ha'avir, as you see in the picture of Rabbeinu Tam. Kadesh is on the outside, Shema is on the outside. V'chein Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon felt the same way. V'haya meniach simen havayos lahadadi. Rav Haigon simen, his way of remembering how to, for a sofer to remember how to put the parshios in, is havayos lahadadi. The two v'hayas should be lahadadi, should be together. V'haya ki v'yecha, V'hayim Shamor are Pnimios. Zu Eitzel Zu. As you see in the picture, in the middle of the two V'hayas. That's why Mati pointed out. That's why the Koyim Rabbeinu Tam, the Syros that come out, which have to be near V'hayim Shamor, and Rabbeinu Tam's film, they're in the middle. Because V'hayim Shamor is in the middle. And he says that there's more literature from the Gaonim. V'chein B'tshuvas HaGaonim Shekasav HaRav Yom Tov Tov Elam. Rav Yom Tov Tov Elam was one of the Bali HaTosas. Sorry, Rav Yosef. Did I say Rav Yom Tov? Rav Yosef Tov Elam. I think his French name was Bonfi. Tov Elam is a good boy or good son. Tov Elam or Tov Elam. Rav Yom Tov Tov Elam or Yom Tov Rav Yosef Tov Elam. Rav Yosef Bonfi. He had a collection of Tshuvas HaGaonim that also recorded this tradition of what we call Rabbeinu Tam. Again, that's a little anachronistic. Rav Haigon came before Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was one of the Rishonim. But what we know of as Rabbeinu Tam, which is also the position of the Ravid, is already the position of several Gaonim. Tosis quotes, Rav Haigon held this way, and the anonymous Tshuvas HaGaonim that was collected by Rav Yosef Tov Elam has this. Okay. You look in the Rosh, there's more from the Gaonim. Rav Shrira Gaon also held like Rabbeinu Tam. And he had, I think I might have mentioned yesterday, another siman. The shins are on the outside, right? The two sides of the sharosh, you have the shins. He said, Kadesh, with its shin and Shema with its shin are near the actual shin letters on the outside. So you have multiple Gaonim on board the Rebbeinu Tam. So the Rayos to Rebbeinu Tam are two. Number one, you have the language of our Gemara that stresses breaking them into pairs. And you have the many Gaonim from the centuries preceding Rashi Rebbeinu Tam, Rav Hai Gaon, Rav Shrira Gaon, the Shuvas HaGaonim collected by Rav Yosef Tovella, on board with Rebbeinu Tam. Okay. On the other hand, you move further in Tosfos. Tosfos already points out that there is a problem. There is a problem with Rebbeinu Tam. There are rayas to Rashi. Working backwards, in terms of Gaonim, he said a strong suit of Rebbeinu Tam is there many Gaonim that support him. On the other hand, there's an ancient work that probably goes back to the period of the Gaonim called the Shimusha Rabba. Tosfos ends with this. The Shimusha Rabba, which is a Tikkun HaTfilin, it's a practical guide to how to make tefillin, presumably from the Gaonim, Mashma Kepir Shakuntras. There, Shimusha Rabba, which is an important work on how to make tefillin, does sound like Rashi. Zeloshono, Mashvi Parshas of the Kadesh Mimin, Bebesa Kama. You put the Parsha of Kadesh on the right side in the first bias. Uparsha de Besamachla Bebesa Tinyana. Then the next Parsha, it's next to it in the next bias. Vahaya Kiviacha. Parsha de Shema Beshlishas. Parsha de Vahim Shemoa Berevius. That seems pretty straightforward. And that's Rashi. Kadesh Vahaya Kiviacha Shema Vahim Shemoa. As a matter of fact, here's another picture. This is from tefillin.co.il. Another picture showing Rashi Rebbeinu Tam, and this is with the tefillin open. Take a look at the actual tefillin like this. If you were a sofer, you have the bias open, you're putting the tefillin in. That's what the Shimusha Rabba is describing. So you see, by the way, that's why the perspective of the korei is so important, because that's the way it's going to look when you have the tefillin open. And you see it's in order. Kadesh, Vahaya Kiviecha, Shema, Vahayim Shamawa. That's according to Rashi. And that's what the Shimusha Rabba described. According to Rebbeinu Tam, it should have been Kadesh, Vahaya Kiviecha, Vahayim Shamawa, and then Shema. So number one, in terms of Gaonim, yes, we have Rav Hai Gaon and the Rav Shrier Gaon. On the other hand, you have the Shimusha Rabba. The Kesef Mishnah quotes a different tradition about what Rav Hai Gaon's tefillin actually looked like. He quotes a tradition that they opened Rav Hai Gaon's tefillin after he passed away, and his tefillin were built like Rashi. So in terms of Gaonim, okay, they're Tzadim Lakan or Lakan. And then, Rebbeinu Tam said, well, I have the Gemara. On the other hand, you know, if you talk about sources in Chazal, Tosus says, yes, but how about the Mechilta? The Mechilta, working back a few lines in Tosus, Uva Mechilta Mashrik Kepir Shakuntras. What's Mechilta? So Mechilta usually refers to the Medrash Halacha on Shemos. We have from the Tanam and early Amara, Midrash Halacha on Shemos, Vayikar Bamidbar and Devar, and the four Chumashim, they're largely Halachic. Medrash means Tarshu Bapeh, that's organized Al Seder HaPsukim instead of Al Seder topics. So the Mechilta read sounds a lot like Rashi. The Kasani Hasam, Bidalad Mekomos Mazkir Parshas Tefillin. You have the tefillin are appear in four places in Chumash. Kadesh v'hayi kiviyacha shema v'hayim shema'a mikan amru mitzvah tefillin abra parashios. That's how you know there are four parashios in the tefillin. The four paragraphs in Chumash that make reference to the tefillin. Okay, so that's a certainly important starting point, as the Mishnah started with the four parashios. V'hadar kasani kosvan kisidron. You write them in order. V'mksavan shalo kisidron yiganzu. If you write them out of order, that they put it into Shemus. Now, he said Kesidron, we already gave an order. Shema, the Kadesh, Kivyecha, Shema, Vayim, Shemoa. Mechilta began with an order. So it sounds like it's the same order. That's Rashi, that they're in order. What's the solution? Rebbeinu Tam is forced to say, Yesh Lutchos, de Bixivas Hasofer Ka'amar, Avain Kovin, Betfilin Keseder Zeh. Tam would say, says Tosas, well, the Brisa, the Mechilta wasn't talking about how you put them in. It was talking about how you write them. Okay, so maybe you write them Kaseder, but then you put them in out of order. They ain't near a cloud. Tosas is not so happy. Presumably, I mean, there are two different ways to organize the parshas of Tefillin. One is how you write them, and a different one is how you put them in. That's difficult. Plus, many understand that this is true for the shell, for the Ksiva Kaseder is going to be true for the shell Yad as well, which would mean, if you saw on the tour, he says, that means, here's a, you write the, you take a look at the long strip, the long single strip of parchment that you have in a shell Yad. If you want to, if they appear on the klaf in the order of Enotam, but they're written, Shema b'foyim Shemoa, means you write one, and then two, leave a space for Vahim Shemoa, write Shema, and then go back to that space, slot number three, and write Vahim Shemoa. That's the way Tosa says. It's hard to imagine. It doesn't seem so logical. It's difficult. That's what the Torah writes. Even Tom is going to agree, you have to write them in order because of the Mechilta. But again, the simple read of the Mechilta is it's not just talking about how you write it, it's talking about how you put it in. And here he says, the Fikach Shal Yah, the Torah writes, Shem Beklaf Echa, the Shal Yah is one long piece of parchment, Yichtov Kadesh Vayikiv Echa, then V'yaniach Chalak, leave empty space for Vahim Shemoa, you'll come back to it. Write in the fourth slot Shema, and then go back. So, one problem with Bein Otam is this Mechilta. Again, you could push back and say that it's a Ksiva. It has to do with a Seder HaKsiva. There are two different ways to organize. You have one sequence for how you write them, and another sequence how you put them in. Rabbi Tosa is not so happy with that. By the way, as a historical aside, if you look in the Mordechai, who was a contemporary of the Rosh, also the end of the period of the Biotosis, he quotes that this question of from the Mechilta was asked to Rabbi Tam directly by, Tosis just says, you know, Rabbi Tam would respond. The Mordechai records that Rabbi Tam was actually asked this question by one of his Talmidim, Rabbeinu Peter. And Rabbi Tam had a Talmud named Peter. That was his name. Pei Tes Resh. So Rabbeinu Peter asked his Rabbeinu Tam, now what do you do with this Mechilta? Rabbeinu Tam says, it must be talking about the Seder HaKsiva. But that's difficult. And then a second problem with Rabbeinu Tam, is, in addition to the Mechilta, is what the Beis Yosef quotes here. Quotes from the Mordechai. Shalchu ksav me'Eretz Yisrael. They got a letter. A letter arrived in Ashkenaz, in Germany, from Eretz Yisrael. She'nafla bima sha'al kever Yechezkel. The matseva on Yechezkel's kever fell off, and they found tefillin in there. Must have buried tefillin. Together, you know, Sheamus, they buried it with a tzaddik. Umatzu sham tefillin yeshanim ma'od, very ancient tefillin. Keseder harambam v'harashi. So number one, what do you do with the Mechilta? That's problem number one with Rabbeinu Tam. Number two, archaeological evidence. Archaeology, we found the ancient tefillin, we open them up, and they're organized like Rashi. Kaddish, v'hayi kiviyacha, shema v'hayim shemoa. Boom. So to the first question Rabbeinu Tam was the Mechilta, and the answer is maybe Mechilta only talked about the Seder HaKsiva. The second question is archaeological evidence. So the Drisha here on the bottom of the tour is a very fascinating response. Shamati b'shem Mori. He quotes his Rebbe. I'm not sure if he had two Rebbeim, the Ramban and the Marshal. I'm not sure which Rebbe he's quoting. De'ein listar sei Rebbeinu Tam ha-shematzu tefillin bekevri Yecheskel. You shouldn't ignore Rebbeinu Tam Shita because of the archaeological evidence. Shematzu tefillin bekevri Yecheskel k'devei Rashi. The archaeological evidence, they found ancient tefillin that were organized like Rashi. Why? Why does he think we can dismiss the archaeological evidence? Interesting answer. Adarabba, Rabbeinu Tam matzle meimah shepsulun hayu. Kem shekseven ba'osa seder. L'kach nikbru. Bekivro. Kedin svarim psulun shenikbarim. Etman bekivro shal tzadik. He says, He says, you found tefillin that were written this way. You found them buried. Were they kosher or were they pasul? Maybe that's why they buried them, because they were made incorrectly. And that's an important point in archaeology in general, as in assessing archaeological evidence. You always have to be able to, any archaeological argument is always a blend of what data you found and what interpretation you're imposing. All you know is that these tefillin existed at some point in time. You don't know that they were acceptable. What did the Rabbanim of the time think about them? So there's always a leap in archaeology. There's always interpretations. That's what Risha points out. You have to handle archaeological evidence gingerly, because you have to make sure you're not making too many assumptions in the interpretation. Yes, someone had written these tefillin, but maybe they were, who says they were kosher? Maybe they were buried in Geniza next to the tzaddik because they're apostle. Yeah, Yonatan. What do you say? Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to know. Now Dead Sea Scrolls, the Qumran excavations. So the Drisha's point about how you interpret archaeological finds is even more relevant there, because the Dead Sea Scrolls seem to be from some alternative sect, probably called the Essenes. So if you find something with the Dead Sea Scrolls, it means that's what the Essenes were doing. It doesn't necessarily mean that we should find that to be binding lahalacha. But as to the other half of what you're saying, yeah, there are archaeological remains of both types, definitely, with the Dead Sea Scrolls and elsewhere. So it seems like this was a very ancient machlokas. As we start by saying it's Rashi and Tam. You could go a generation or two later, it's Rambam Ravid. Tosus is already pushing us back into the period of the Gaonim. On the one hand, you have Rav Haigon, Rav Shri Ragon, and Rav Yosef Tuva Elam's collection of Tshuvas Hagonim. On the other hand, you have the Shimusha Rabbah. All right, this may be an even more ancient machlokas as well. In terms of, let's circle back. In terms of the problems with Rabbi Yonatan, number one was he had arrived from the simple reading of the Bavli, but on the other hand, what do you do with the Mechilta? Mechilta seems pretty clearly like Rashi. And that had forced Petra had asked that kasha to Rabbi Yonatan. Tosis quotes it, others quote it, and that had forced Rabbi Yonatan to say, as Tosis in the Torah quote, well, maybe there's a separate Seder for Ksiva. The writing of the parsha has to be in the normal order, 1, 2, 3, 4. But when you put them in, when you organize them spatially, in terms of time, they're organized 1, 2, 3, 4, in terms of the Zman HaKsiva, but in terms of how they're placed in the tefillin, or how they appear on the cloth and the shel yad, spatially they're organized 1, 2, 4, 3. And that, again, Tosis wasn't so happy with, this multiple ksivas. The second problem of Yonatan is the archaeological evidence, right, that the Samag and the Mordechai are reporting on. We see quoting by Beis Yosef. Archaeological evidence like Rashi, but again, the Drisha pushes back. Archaeological evidence can be difficult to interpret. And Yonatan's pointed out there may be more archaeological evidence as well. You keep digging, you find more things. There's a third problem with Rabbi Yonatan, which he quotes a Rajba. Rajba b'tshuva herich b'davar zeh. The Rajba at length disputes Rabbi Yonatan. Docha de Rabbi Yonatan v'heme divrei Rashi v'aramba. And he ultimately comes to a conclusion like Rashi and Rambam. Now, look in the footnote, they send you to a very brief Tshuvas HaRashba. Very, very brief. There are many Tshuvas. There are thousands of Tshuvas HaRashba. So in Chelek Aleph, the Tshuvas HaRashba, it's almost a one-liner. But he basically says, well, it should be Keseder Shein Ksuvim B'Torah. Why wouldn't it be in the normal order? In other words, if the first problem with the Rabbi Yonatan is the Migemara, you have the source, the Mechilta. The second problem with Rabbi Yonatan is a different type of Migemara. You have the source, not a text, but the archaeological evidence. The third problem is Misvara. And it's sort of, we come back to where we started. We come back to where we started. Now, the Rajba, I want to end by addressing the problem of Svara. Let's just first talk for a moment about halacha lemaaseh. See, the Rajba is very opposed to Rabbi Yonatan. He quotes the Rajba in the longer version of Tshuva, right? Sov davar daiti note karashi Rambam. I think I'm convinced like Rashi Rambam. Aleim anu somchim we follow Rashi and Rambam. Period. We only wear Rashi tefillin. V'chein ha'inog Rabbeinu Yonah v'haramban. The Rashi writes, my Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu Yonah the Ramban. That's what the osim ma'isa ba'atzma. That's what they did. That's what they did. Okay, he tells you in a later collection of Tshuva's HaRashba, called the Miuchasel Ramban, you'll find this the lengthier version of the Rajba's Tshuva. While the Tor quotes from his father, the Rosh, who says, well, since it's a machlokas hagaonim, some hold like Rashi, some like Rabbeinu Tam. Right? We saw it. The Rabbi Haigon, the Shrier Gaon versus Shimusha Rabba, and it's a high stakes issue. Tefillin shel elu psulin leelu. Nechlekubo Gaoni Olam, the Rosh writes, the Tor quotes here, and with either one holds the other one is not just not ideal, but possible. So, Yirei Shamayim Yetzei Deshneim. The Rosh's approach was, why not cover your bases? Wear two sets of tefillin simultaneously side by side, or the Maharil begins to say, or maybe you'll have, wear one after the other, but that's the Rosh's approach. The Rosh's approach was, cover your bases, do both. Wear Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. The Rajba, though, we're seeing here, said, no, Rashi. And the Beis Yosef goes on to quote, even among later Ashkenazim, the Rajba is a Sephardi. The Rosh is Ashkenazi. But even among the Ashkenazim, later Ashkenazim, Maharil, a century and a half after the Rosh, says, Shnei zugei tefillin lo chazinu rabbanan kashishai da'avdi we don't find that the great tzaddikim, the great Chachmei Ashkenaz, are wearing two sets of tefillin, even though the Rosh had suggested that. The body follows the head. There's the cause the Ashkenazi Kila as a whole has followed its Rabbanan. We only wear one pair of tefillin. He mentions about Kever Yechezkel, about the archaeological evidence. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Lamaisa, Shulchan Aruch says, Minig HaOlam, here Simon Lamedalid, Minig HaOlam Kerashi Rambam. Shulchan Aruch says, we pass like Rashi. It's standard practice like Rashi and Rambam. And then he goes on to say, that's a tip of the hat to the Rush. That there's room to machmer to wear both. And then he says you have to make sure to say you only want to be Yotzi, whichever one is correct. But they go on to say you have to be avoid. This is only for great tzaddik. Going back to the Gemara Bava Kamma we looked at this morning. Right? It's only for great tzaddikim. Again, in line with the Maharil. We don't necessarily, unless you're unusual tzaddik, we're not encouraging you to wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. That was the common Ashkenazi practice, that only great tzaddikim were Rabbeinu Tam until the advent of Chassidus. Chassidim repopularized the shita of the Rosh to the everyone should be wearing the two sets of tefillin. So halacha lamasa, we should all be zocha to be unusual Yirei Shamayim. But at this point, as far as I know, everyone on this call is Ashkenazi. The standing practice, as you had told me yesterday, you all were just Rashi. I want to leave you, I want to wrap up this sugya by returning to the third Kashmir on top. The question of Svara. Why would the tefillin be out of order? It fits with the Lashon HaGemara, but what would be the Svara for the Amoraim to say that? So the Rav in the Shiurim on tefillin has a beautiful the hair, the Yonatan idea, I think already touched upon, which is the following. Said that, remember, Rabbeinu Tam hasn't said it's out of order, 1, 2, 4, 3. It's these two are in order from this direction, and those two are in order from that direction. Rabbeinu Tam, from the perspective of the onlooker, is Kadesh Reiki Vecha. From the perspective of the Meniach, it's Shema Vayim Shamoa. So, what the Rav suggested is, and this will address Yonatan's question as well, according to Rashi, it's all in one order. Why from the perspective of the Koreh? So what the Rav suggested is that yes, to go back to where we began in our Shir Psicha, tefillin are meant to be an expression of the bond between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, that the Hosea in those psukim that we say when we wrap up the Hanachas Tefillin and other Nevi'im describe metaphorically as a marriage. So, you know, the wedding band is certainly for the Kala more than for any of the onlookers. But here's the difference. Who has this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's Klal Yisrael. It's every individual Jew, but it's also Klal Yisrael as a corporate entity. Klal Yisrael as a community has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what the Rav suggested is that the tefillin not only capture this connectedness we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but according to Tam, they also capture both halves of it, or both levels, on the tzibur level and on the yachid level. And you think about the differences, that's how we had begun the sugya. What are the differences in thematically between the first two parashas and the last two parashas? Right? Number one, the last two parashas are focused on halacha. The last two parashas are focused on emunah. It's sort of the more abstract, while Kashva and Kiviach are focused on the demonstrations of emunah that took place at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Makas Bucharos, and the connection that the mitzvahs have specifically to Yetzias Mitzrayim to Makas Bucharos. And the Rav points out, in a larger sense, the Kashva and Kiviach are Yetzias Mitzrayim focused. That's certainly the case. That's the case in terms of the context in Chumash, the end of Parshas Bo. So Kashi Kiviach, he suggested, are focused more on the relationship of the Tzibur, of Knesset Yisrael, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema Vayim Shamoa are a blend of the Tzibur and the Yachid. There's more of a Yachid element present in Shema Vayim Shamoa than there is in Kashi Kiviach. So he suggested that the tefillin capture both relationships. As a part of Klal Yisrael, we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a part of Klal Yisrael, our national connection with Ribono Shel Olam. And then there's also the personal connection that I, as a Jew, I personally have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You personally have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the tefillin capture both. The Kashva Yekevicha, which are more tzibur oriented, they are from the perspective of the Kore, from your perspective, because they're the public part of the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the tzibur's connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are captured primarily in those two parishes. That's why these two parishes, Kashva Yekevicha, they're in order from the perspective of the Kore. While Shema, Vahim Shamoa, which highlight the Yachid element more than the Parshios and Bodu, they are from the Yachid's perspective, from the perspective of the Meniach, the person who is wearing the tefillin. Shema Vayim Shamoa are in order Mitzad HaMeniach, while Kashya Yekiviacha, which are highlighting the Tzibur connection, Knesset Yisrael, are in order from the perspective of the Korei, of the onlooker, which represents the Klal Yisrael piece, the public piece. Kashva and Kiviach are more public, Shemayim and Shema are more private. And that might also speak to Yonatan's point, is the fact that for Rashi, they're all in order from the perspective of the Korei. Well, isn't that odd, you know, that the wedding band and the engagement ring are more relevant for the Kala than for any of the onlookers? Yes. But Rashi would say, but this is about Klal Yisrael. The onlooker isn't a third party. The onlooker is also, I'm looking at your tefillin, I'm also part of Klal Yisrael. This is about me. It's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rav's idea could help us to understand Rashi. We understand why it might be from the perspective of the Kori, because the Maisa, when the Nevi'im speak about the marriage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a particular Jew, and Rav Tam would say, as the Rav developed, that we're capturing, the tefillin are capturing both halves, both layers of that relationship, these two parashas highlighting the national connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why they're from the public perspective, Mitzad HaKorei, and the latter two parashas capturing the personal relationship that an individual Jew has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why they're Mitzad HaKorei. HaMinyach.